How's work?
Right. Just got man flu, so.
Oh, shut up.
I have.
You got the sniffles.
Yeah, I've got the sniffles. Right, then.
Are you going to do an intro, or can I just dive straight into it head first?
Little intro.
Little intro. Go on.
Yeah, just a little one. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 3 of the Unhinged Podcast. I am Joel Wright and joining me again, third time in a row, is...
Yeah. is a cat. It's a feckin' cat. It's only me, Lewis. And yes, I should big myself up more, but it's far too late and it's been one of those days. Go away, cat. One of those days. It's, yes. The joys of... Anyway, right. Hello.
Hello.
I have a mug of tea.
So do I. Just a warning, this is an uncensored show. I have said it's uncut, but that's impossible. So it will be cut. This is all about movies, TVs, video games, other geeky culture, and then probably a sprinkling of board games at the end of it. And I am hosting this with Man Flu, so... You can all suck it.
So I'll be doing a lot of the talking and you just kind of sit there kind of going, yeah. That's what everyone needs to hear. Everyone needs to hear.
I might mute it. I see. Go on then.
Anyway.
What we got to talk about then, Lewis?
What should I start about? Okay. Most awesome thing that happened to me... this week was when we had a discussion with my kids about various things. We were watching some YouTube videos and this, that, and the other. And one of my kids went, "Oh, that's amazing. I'd love to do it." And the other kid just turned around and went, "No, I'm never going on that." So after a discussion on theme parks and ride and roller coaster rides, I took my boy, just me and him, to Thorpe Park.
Okay.
And we ended up doing a whole weekend at Thorpe Park. And it was awesome. And we did the Ghost Train, Darren Brown's Ghost Train, twice because he wanted to do it the second time without holding my hand and being quite scared. But it was an absolutely awesome weekend. Went up there, stayed in a hotel next to a river near Thorpe Park, and at a very nice hotel, and had an absolutely great time. And due to the fact that it wasn't half term, it wasn't as busy, although it was a weekend. There was no kind of... It was quite more full of tourists. But it was absolutely awesome. I tell you what... The VR experience does make me want to get PlayStation VR, and I am fully aware that it's not going to be as good or immersive or whatever the expression. People are going to say, "Oh no," because it's the PC one. It's not Oculus Rift 5. Is it 5? It's the other. It's one of them. It's a PC version of it, and I knew watching what I was watching, I thought, okay, I doubt it's going to happen and be that good on PlayStation VR, but. As an experience in VR, and the fact that I put my hands up to stop something from hitting me in the face was awesome. Absolutely awesome that it immersed me that much in the 10 minutes that you're kind of in there for. It was really, really good. Really, really good. And the whole weekend was, a really good. And he was such a junkie for, "Come on, let's go. Next ride. And every time there was a queue of more than 30 minutes, he was like, "Oh God." He said, let's get a fast track. I said, "Dude, I'm not going to queue for an hour and a half for a ride anyway. So no, I'm not queuing for that long. And I'm not spending..." What would it have been? I think it worked out for the decent ride, we were probably going to spend 60 quid on the pair of us to get a go on 5 rides, quickly once.
Wow.
So it was like, yeah, no, you're all right. Because it's obviously you need 2 of them.
Yeah.
But queue times, 45 minutes to an hour. For most of the big ones, we both came away with Saw being our best ride that they've got, followed by Nemesis. Ghost Train's in a different kind of ballpark, like rides in terms of roller coaster rides. Swarm was really good. Did all of them and had an absolute blast. And you can't quite do it all in a day, but it's not far off. Not far off. Not like Alton Towers, where that's so spread out that it's quite hard to do all the rides. Thorpe Park's quite close and tight, so it's easy to kind of do them all.
So, I went to Alton Towers a few years ago, and I don't think it was that big. I went round and went on all the rides I wanted to in plenty of time. But me and my brother did pick up privilege tickets. So we were all skipping the queues and sticking middle fingers up to everyone. And they're like, what are they going kind of things? Yeah. We paid extra money because we're weak.
But do you know what they had a really cool thing there, right? So we're queuing these rides and we're doing this, and my boy picks up this piece of paper and he goes, this is a good idea. I look at the piece of paper. Basically, so you turn up to a theme park and you've got a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old, and a 12-year-old doesn't want to go on roller coasters, so one of you is going to have to sit out. So you're kind of going, oh, Christ's sake. So they go off and do something like go in the duck pen or go and throw bread at geese or something. So then you go on the ride, you take this card with you, and you have it signed. Right. And then your other half, who's been sat outside throwing bread at ducks, can take that ticket and go straight through the fast pass with that ticket because you've already queued once.
Wow.
So she gets to have a go. Or he or she gets to have a go. So you can look after the child in the queue with the buggy or the pushchair and still both of you ride the same ride because one of you gets a fast pass.
Wow.
Awesome idea. Absolutely awesome idea. Yeah, really, really good idea.
Where was that?
Thorpe Park.
That was at Thorpe Park. All
right. That was at Thorpe Park, yeah. And they had some really cool things there. And I think the biggest learning experience that we had that weekend was, I think Lewis has finally given in to the fact that Carny/Funfair game shows, where you can hoop the ball, throw the bump, bounce, do this, spin that, hold on to that, they are all a fix. I think he finally got that when we were at Thorpe Park.
Yeah.
It cost me about 15 quid to get to that point, but it did... He did kind of go, he was getting so angry with the rope one that you had to, and I just like went, dude, all of them are a technique. All of them will show you that it's easy to do. You know, all the people that were hosting it will say, oh yeah, you just do this and it's really easy, and you'll do it and you won't be able to do it. And it's a technique, it's a way of doing it. And once you work it out, then you're fine. But it's going to cost you 5 quid or 3 quid a time to find that out. And that's what they're doing. I said, all these things aren't worth that much money anyway.
No.
But yes, we did manage to win a stupid round big face with orange fur. I did that for him in one of the games. So yeah. But yes.
So you come away with some tat.
Quite expensive. Yeah, did come away with some tat. Yeah. And then of course, I had to carry this stupid big orange fluffy thing around for the rest of the day. So going on Darren Brown's ghost train with his big orange fluffy thing, kind of like, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, thank you. Sorry, excuse me.
Oh, dear. That's brilliant.
But they are lining up Fright Fest. So when this probably comes out, Fright Fest might have started. I think it starts this Friday coming.
Right.
And it looks awesome. It's all based on The Walking Dead. If you don't live in London and haven't seen the billboards everywhere. But they have obviously zombies going around. There's loads of pens. When I was there, the stuff they were setting up prior to the week, no matter what, I don't know what they're doing this week, but it just looks absolutely terrifying. You know, we're talking zombie mazes and things along those lines. It just, yeah. No, you're good. And it's open till 10 at night as well. So, I'd love to go, but I don't think I could take the boy. He was scared enough with Darren Brown's ghost train.
So does Darren Brown's ghost train move? Do you know what I mean? Or is it a set and it's just a video around you?
I'm going to do Let's Talk to Game of Thrones in front of somebody who's never seen Game of Thrones and has just started watching it. I'm not going to tell you a word.
Right. Okay.
I could, and it would ruin anything I tell you, ruins a little bit of the whole surprise.
Right, okay.
And I really enjoyed not knowing anything about it, and it's like if somebody, like I said before, you know, somebody ruins Usual Suspects or, you know, Game of Thrones, you know, who dies and who lives and who does this and that and the other. It just ruins, although you can still watch it and enjoy it for the fun, the violence, all the rest of it, you actually miss a big part of the storyline. And to tell you anything about the ride, anything at all, you know, what happens, the implication I'm going to give to something happening or not happening, just takes it away.
Yeah.
Is it worth 2 hours of queuing? I don't think so. My daughter queued for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, she says. But that's teenage daughter, so I think she's probably about 45 minutes. But she was saying, we looked at the queue and we kind of like went, do you know what? That's about half the size I've seen it on adverts and trailers for this thing. I'm going to give it a go. And it was an hour that we queued for. And I went, all right, that was worth an hour queue. So
awesome.
And awesome. But yeah, as a place to go for a weekend. Oh, awesome. Really had a good time. Ate lots of junk food and rubbish and pizzas and Burger Kings and all sorts. And it, yeah, had a very unhealthy diet, eating apples like crazy and bananas and spinach for the last 2 days, trying to make up for it. Yeah.
I know when I went to Alton Towers, they had a ride there called Air, I think it was called.
I've done that several times, yes.
Yeah, but they've now changed that to VR. So they now you've got the headset around you and you're flying through a galaxy.
That would be awesome.
And then there's also, I'm pretty sure what I've seen from clips is there's big hoops going around the like certain points of the track, which spray out a mist of water. So as you fly through it, it kind of simulates you flying through like rings of Saturn or something like that.
That's very clever. That's very clever.
Yeah. I was like, now I want to go back and just do that.
But yeah. No. Well, I've had a couple of conferences. Capita have thrown a few up at Alton Towers Hotel. They did it before. They stopped doing it now because it's too expensive. But you used to get an hour on one of those roller coaster rides. So I've done Air and Nemesis for an hour and literally just stayed on it and go again.
Really? You just again. Went around?
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's the...
Initially you have to kind of run around and then eventually half the delegates go back and there's only like a straggler of like five or six of us kind of at the end going, yep, again. So there's five people going around on a roller coaster. So, yeah, again, keep going.
So you just go on one roller coaster for an hour?
Yep, an hour.
That's slightly random.
Yep, but part of the freebie, I guess, of the perk of holding a business conference at Alton Towers. So it shuts down. So the day shuts down. So Alton Park shuts at 6 or whenever it went. Yeah. It must be 6. And then you get ushered through the park straight to the ride, and then go on whatever it is you're going on for an hour. And then I get ushered back through the park.
They don't let you go on any other rides.
Mm-mm. Look, it's anyone they got open. That's all the staff they've got. You know, they just need 4 or 5 staff for that one ride rather than.
I see. Cool. I love Oblivion. That's
good. You've got to be at the front for that.
Yes, definitely. I think I've done that twice when I was there.
I'm going to tell you now, this I need to develop an app that it's quite exclusive to me, unfortunately. Okay, so what this is I will sell the app, and every time I go to a theme park, anyone who's also at that theme park can download this app, watch what queue I'm in, and then about 25 minutes, half an hour later, join that queue because you won't have to queue as long. Right. Every single ride we went on, bar one, when I turned around to look at the queue, it was half the size of when I joined it. So I sat in this queue for an hour to get to the front. I've looked around and there's hardly anyone there, and you could have joined it and been on the ride in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Almost every single, the only time it didn't happen is when we hit Nemesis at the beginning of the day and it was 5 minutes to get in, actually about 15. Then we turned around and it was 75 minutes when we got off. That's the only time it ever happened. But apart from that, rides were empty behind me whenever I queued on them. Even Darren Brown, I queued for an hour. I turned around just before you get put into two pens and you get split up. I turned around. It was half the size. You could have done it in half an hour. Just sat there going, and my son Lewis just kept looking going, again, this is day two, Dad. And we started talking about developing this app. So people could just watch what queue I'm in and realize that 30 minutes later, you'll be fine just to walk straight onto that ride. So.
Awesome.
It was a good day. It was a good weekend. And the sun was lovely and everything else. And it was all the joys of autumn and a lovely day. Anyway, moving on. Come on. What have you done in the last month?
I don't think I've been anywhere particularly.
Because that happens next month. It happens next month.
Yeah. Next month. What I did do is I rejigged my lounge and now got up a nice stack system of Kallikak shelving for all my board games. So,
bah.
Yep, I'm following the sheep. But it looks awesome now. It was a bit ginger. I'll put a picture up now. I've got it. I think I've got it organised. No, it looks shit still.
No, your wife's got it organised. You haven't got it organised.
No, she hasn't touched it this time. But it looks lovely. I've got a massive TV unit with cupboards all around it. I had to shove that 70mm over to one side to fit the new shelves in. So that was a massive weekend job of moving it all along and putting these up, and then realizing I put one round the wrong way and then I had to take it all down and put it up again. So that was just the OCD going in. And then I was like, all right, let's do it again. But no. So now they're all sorted. And now I have to have a system of one in, one out, unfortunately.
Oh, you have got to that stage, have you?
I'm going to have to, yeah. I have got a few still in the summer house or the office. Like, they're the gateway games. And then a couple of others, especially my, HeroScape set, which is all in plastic containers.
You've still got that. That's impressive.
Yeah. I'm not getting rid of that yet. Isaac could be old enough in a minute to play it. So I think we'll have some mental battles on that.
I need to set a table up.
Yeah. You still got your?
Oh, yeah. It's my kids' favorite games.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, they like it because everything is quite nicely easily laid out of what they can do and everything. Mm-hmm. And we always kind of like say how many points, and I always give them first dibs on stuff. Or we tend to take one big creature each, and then we kind of take small creatures each, like in a kind of round robin kind of thing.
Did you get any extras, or you just got the starter set?
No, I got the starter set, and I got a load of terrain, a box of terrain.
Oh, yeah.
I picked up over the years various kind of random sets of dudes, you know, stuff. Not as much as you. That was a bargain what you picked up, I think, in hindsight.
It's definitely. Yeah, I keep looking on eBay to see if there's any extra expansion.
I do the same thing.
But they all seem a bit expensive at the minute. But
it is far too. Yeah, totally agree. I don't mind a game. I'm just not spending £35 on two figurines. So.
No, definitely.
So don't care how ultra rare they are.
So yeah, other than that, I've got some more building work jobs coming up at my place. But I'm glad to get that sorted. So what have you been watching?
What have I been watching? Actually, do you know what? I wrote some of this down, right? So films or TV, which one?
TV.
TV, okay. Obviously Rick and Morty.
I've still got to watch that.
But have you ever, because it reminded me to ask you, have you ever seen Harmon's Quest?
No.
Okay. So you know Geek and Sundry.
Yeah.
They do. I've also seen this on what's the American Gen Con? There's Gen Con and the other one. What's the two? The two
Origins.
Major game Origins. One of those two used to have D&D sessions in front of a massive theater. I know Will Wheaton's done it twice, I think. It's been quite funny. I know that Geek and Sundry also do a similar thing, and they've done it for a long, long time. Well, Dan Harmon, i.e. one half of, Rick and Morty, does a D&D session. And he's done, I think, one season, or has he done two seasons? But the next season is about, one season, that's right. The second season is about to start, hopefully, in October. It was supposed to be at the beginning of September, but it hasn't. It's quite funny.
Okay.
It's quite funny. And it's, it's live action. They have a different guest every week. And the first season was quite funny. That's why I caught up with that. Rick and Morty, obviously, it's quite awesome. We've got one more to go. And the last one was really quite funny. I've also almost finished Sense8. I wanted to try and finish it tonight, but I couldn't have time to finish off watching Sense8. But apart from that, normal kind of rubbish stuff. Trying to keep my finger in various things. What about you? You finished Flash yet? Did you finish it?
Nearly finished the third season. Is this one of the? They're so long. I wish they weren't like 26 episodes long. I wish they'd condense it, but because some of them are just really pointless episodes, just like kind of filler, just to make them up. But yeah. It was funny. I realized. Caitlin's iPad was still connected to the internet because I can turn it on and off via my iPhone. So I went and got it just to check she hadn't been on it too late. And when I got it down, I realized she had Snapchat on there, which she's been told not to have Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
So Mrs. was just furious. And then I started dicking around with it on there. And I was like, so how do you do these faces then? So I had to, as a usual old person, had to go on the internet and find out.
How'd you vomit rainbows?
Yes. So I had to find it out. And then me and the missus were just dicking around on it, like using all the faces and then loading them up onto Caitlin's Instagram feed just to wind her up kind of thing. This is what happens when you have a Snapchat on your phone. Your parents find out. They hack it and they start doing silly stuff on it. So yeah, I missed the whole episode watching while we were watching Flash doing that, but weren't too much. So nearly there. What do I got I've forgotten the term now, I'm so ill. So I like watching this program called The Last Ship.
I've seen that around, pray tell, because I keep there's a couple of seasons now, haven't they? So it must
be actually on the fourth season, which I'm really surprised it's got this far. It's kind of one of those like one of those you shouldn't watch programs, but you do like watch it because it's you just like it. I can't think what the term is now. It'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, so yeah, I've been watching that. I've been watching it from the beginning, and it's really good for some. What is it? I like it. It's made by Michael Bay, and taken from a popular book series that came out. But it is basically, let's say it's pandemic. Starts off like that, and this US Navy ship is the last kind of survivor as the world's going into disarray because of this pandemic epidemic's going around, killing off everyone. And they're trying to find the cure and get it back and get it made and out to the world to try and save what's left of humanity. That's the first couple of seasons. And I'm really surprised it got past the first season. And it's still going on to the fourth season where they're actually, it's still going on. And it's kind of like, a bit like that kind of nostalgic feeling of watching Knight Rider or Airwolf. Is it Airwolf, the helicopter? So it's kind of like about the vehicle.
But Street Hawk was always my favourite because I used to ride bikes. It was rubbish. It was horrific.
It's not rubbish, but it's kind of because it's about
the vehicle. Hawk was rubbish and horrific.
Yeah, it's like the vehicle, and but then it's about the crew members on there, and you get to know the crew and get their backstories and everything like that. It's good like that, but then when they get into like kind of combat mode, it's kind of like, oh yeah, they're gonna get, there's gonna be some action and the military style going off, and it's that old Americanized "yee-haw" kind of thing. Yeah, we're America, we can do this. And I don't know, I just like it for some reason. I shouldn't, but I don't know why I like it.
It's all that sort of testosterone flashing around.
It is, so yeah, it's great. So yeah, I do like watching that. I watched the first couple of episodes of the new Star Trek Discovery.
I tried to watch the first one last night and I fell asleep halfway through. I was knackered though. It wasn't the program. And I watched them land and shoot the mine with the water, the well, and they got up and they did this and then they did some other stuff. And then that's about all I remember. So I might have done about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think you did about 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. It's actually really good.
Are you watching the Orville?
No, I forgot that was on. Oh.
Yeah, three episodes in.
Is it any good?
Yes.
Oh, I heard it's really bad.
Oh yeah, it is. But it's that space flying through stuff, captain ship adventures, everyone's 22 minutes of, you know, something, that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Oh right. No, it's not
very good at all, no.
Oh no. Well, Star Trek, the first couple episodes did that whole thing. Let's tick a load of boxes to get people involved with it. And it was a tick box sheet kind of thing. Epic battle, red alert, mutiny on the bridge kind of thing. And everything.
Is this new one?
This is the new one. So yeah.
I didn't watch the other one that they tried to do with, what was the one between Voyager and this one? The dude with Quantum Leap in it.
The Enterprise.
Yeah.
Another prequel.
Yeah, and I didn't see that one, so.
No, I didn't really see much of that either. But this is really good. And somehow, I don't know if they're coming off the back of the new Star Trek films, because the technology just seems to be out there completely, because this is way before like the original series should have happened. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know if they're kind of come up there. they're riding on the coattails of the new films. But yeah, it's good what they did. What else have I been watching? I knew I should have made a list. Anything you watched?
Oh, film-wise, I can go into films if you want.
Go on then.
Watched a couple of films I shouldn't have watched with my children, but I won't go into that in case children's services are listening. But we did watch Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah,
we watched. Where's that? I quite like that.
Yeah,
I did quite like that. Yes, I'm not going to say even if you know woman being the female kind of heroine, but just I remember watching Wonder Woman as a kid. On 70s kind of American kind of Wonder Woman kind of stuff. So that's my experience of Wonder Woman. I know nothing more than that. I knew she was kind of Amazonian type lady, about it. So actually I sat there and with a smile on my face going, that's all right, isn't it? Yeah, that's quite cool. And then just smiled and went, that's no more or less believable than Iron Man and I'm a Captain America. So I'm good with this. And she's very good. And I just like went, oh, that's quite good. You know, and everyone died in the right order and, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's good. Yeah, good.
We saw it at the cinema. Like, absolutely, it was brilliant. Just great film.
Yeah. The other one, which was recommended by my daughter to watch, because she says, you're going to like this, but not for the action or anything. And I wonder what she meant. And it was Baby Driver.
All right.
Okay. Heist film, but the soundtrack is awesome. And that's basically what the film is a soundtrack that they wrapped a film around kind of stuff. Soundtrack's awesome. And it's an unbelievable kind of heist car film. Good. Yeah, it smiles all around with regards to what we're watching. Yeah, but the kids are watching it as well. But they shouldn't have been watching it. It was far too much foul language. But no, it was good. It was good. And also watched, what was the other one? Oh, damn it. Hang on. Brain and Gear, go along.
Are you watching
Cool Guys? Cool. No, I'm just trying to. I was watching it on Netflix the other day. I've totally forgotten which one it is. Hang on a second. The Nice Guys. There you go. Have you seen? Know what I'm talking about? Have any idea?
Nope.
Okay, another detective film set in kind of is it 70s America, kind of San Francisco kind of things. I'm just trying to. I'm straggling now for the strap.
Oh yeah,
one
got it up. Yeah.
I'm trying. It's the two actors, Russell Crowe, man who likes to punch people, and a guy from Driver, who I can never remember either, Ryan Gosling, and they're detectives that they kind of meet at the beginning, and they're kind of not thrown together because of a case they're both working on, but stuff combines them together, and there's this kind of hour and a half, 2 hour kind of film of quite cool 70s kind of just silly detective comedy violence. Yeah, it made me smile. That was quite silly. And the last one was The Hitman's Bodyguard with Samuel Jackson and Ryan, the other Ryan.
Yeah.
Gosling? Totally forgotten.
No, Ryan Reynolds.
Reynolds. Thank you very much indeed. Yes.
Yeah.
My son and I watched that when we were out at Thorpe Park. And that was lots of swearing, lots of violence, lots of carnage. Lots of MFs being dropped every 2 minutes because, of course, Samuel Jackson. but it was funny. It was silly. But all of those were kind of popcorny films. You know, I just had a popcorn. You know, nothing too heavy. Enjoying myself. I am, as alluded to on the last time, actually going to be performing in a play called The Crucible. So I actually have been watching various kind of performances of The Crucible for the last kind of couple of weeks, learning how to play Paris. The preacher, the 17th century, whatever the term was. Man alive. I can't do voices. This is going to be funny. I said I can do two voices. Well, apart from third, it might be my own. I can play camp or quite strict. Which one do you want? And she went, I don't think we want a camp preacher, so we'll go with strict. I said, okay, fine, we're done.
So my kids kind of went on a Avengers binge, and we watched the second Avengers movie, Age of Ultron, and then we watched Iron Man 3 afterwards. So they're all right, as good as I remember them to be. Film I did watch, I just thought, where has it gone? That's the wrong list. Continue watching. I started watching The Expanse. You've ever watched that?
I have tried, I believe.
And?
No.
Don't like it?
No. None of things. I'm. Yeah, it's one of those. I think I tried watching. Things need to kind of grab me quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it did.
Right.
I'm just looking now. No.
I watched The Circle. Have you seen this one?
That's the corporate. Isn't that the corporate one? Tom Hanks and yeah, Hermione kind of Granger?
A mix of Apple meets Google meets every big major corporation that's trying to control the internet world. That was quite good. Quite enjoyed that. The other thing my kids wanted to watch was Pixels.
I don't get the hype for that film. It's not that good, but I don't get the hype for it.
It's not. It is kind of bad in many sense.
It is so corny and rubbish, and it's silly, and it makes me smile because of its stupidness. I don't sit there watching it, kind of going, "It's going to change the world." I just kind of go, "Oh, this is dreadful."
But it's brilliant. The fact that playing Pac-Man in the minis. Game in minis.
Yep.
It's like, yep. this is too stupid.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. Exactly. It's a stupid film.
Oh, dear. And then they got the Donkey Kong at the end of it, and they're actually climbing up and jumping the barrels. Oh, this is like, really? And it was just so many bad, I don't know, effects and things going on with it. And it's just like, really, you could have done. I've seen better effects in TV programs than this. So, but what it was just what it was. Just let's put video games in the movie and we're playing again.
Yeah.
The other two things I've watched on Netflix is Netflix seems to be doing these comedy sessions and getting.
Done loads of them. Yeah.
Comedians in. And Mark Maron was one of the first ones. And if you don't know who he is, he's the actual guy in Glow, who's the manager trying to set this TV. He's the producer, manager, trying to set it all up. But he's also does one of the biggest podcasts on the globe called WTF. And he's done some major interviews on that show. So he's doing an hour of his own shit. And yeah, I didn't get it. And then the other one I watched, and I talked about this with you when we were at Credit and Gaming Night, was, I can't even find it now, another supposed comedian, Jeff Durham?
Oh, the terrorist. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
cut straight into terrorist. Can't even find it now. Basically,
Jeff Dunham, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a comedian. Let's see if
Relative Disaster.
Oh, Dunham. He's got quite a few on here.
Yeah. He's been around a while. The terrorist that he's got, that one that's blown up and everything, that I think it was his first, I think I saw.
Yeah.
I saw that with him first, yeah.
He's a ventriloquist with several puppets. He's not a very good ventriloquist, I have to say. I've seen better. I just do it as a fun kind of thing. So, but... Some of it was funny, some of it was not. And what we're talking about is this one. It's basically a skeleton of this terrorist that's wearing a turban. And it's just all jokes of, like, he's blown himself up for this thing or something like that. And I just sat there going, it's kind of funny, but I'm really uncomfortable at the minute kind of thing. I don't know why I'm still watching. And then some of the other puppets he had on were just the same in a way. They all just seem to be going along the same joke of taking the mick out of how old he is, because apparently he's like 55 years old or something like that, and he's just had another two babies with his 18-year younger wife. So it was just all the same jokes coming around with the same with different puppets taking the mick out of him. But hey-ho. Must be struggling for content.
Don't know. They've got enough comedians on there. So they've got loads. They were chucking up almost one a week.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks. So, yeah. I know he's an American god with comedians, but Dave Chappelle, I don't. I don't know what it is. I don't. He's funny, but I don't get why he's a god type person in America.
Dave Chappelle.
Mm.
Is that the other one that's gone up there? Is it?
Oh, he's quite a famous American comedian. Been around a hell of a long time, done a hell of a lot. Had a very long running TV show in America, and yeah, I've seen some of his stand ups, but it's one of those things. I think maybe if I'd seen him earlier, before I'd seen all the other comedians, you know, because he was a forerunner for a lot of comedians in America, especially with his show. So yeah, maybe. But no, I just, you know. Yeah. But yeah, no, I've seen a few things that I need to catch up with and just finish off and finally get, you know, completed on there. So I won't talk until I've seen them all.
No. No, I want to see Death Note. That's been a thing. Mm-hmm. The Good Place is another one I want to watch. Have you seen this one?
Nope.
I can't even think of his name now. He's looking right at me. But basically, his missus dies and is sent to the good place because apparently she's been mistaken for a humanitarian person, done loads of good things. And she realized they mistaken her, and it's like, okay, hey, this is a really nice place. I don't really want to tell them that you've got the wrong person, this kind of thing.
So, oh, okay.
Seems interesting. It's getting good buzz.
I tell you what, on Netflix, because I'm skipping along here, and I should wanted to dive into something else before I run away from Netflix, was Young Offenders film.
Right.
A load of cocaine washes up on the beach in Ireland, and two kind of teenagers who are kind of Irish fuckwits suddenly had this idea of, hang on a second, if they're washing up loads of cocaine, we should go down and pick one up and then come back home again. And so that's what they do. And it's kind of, it's just based on true story and based on stuff. It probably did urban legend type thing, but yes, there probably are people. But it's that's a funny, stupid little film as well. Yeah, if you get a chance to see that, yeah. It's called Young Offenders. That's, yeah, that made me smell. That was very good. Cool. Right. I did actually want to talk about gaming.
Oh, hello.
Well, it's just because you're off, by the time we finish, next time we talk, you'd be coming back from somewhere.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say, if before you go away, what you got plans to see and play and do? You must be reading all the previews, wetting your little knickknacks.
Didn't want to delete that one. I am ticking off my previews as I go. I'm going to get into my list. I'm using a site called Tabletop Together, which has a good listing to find out what's hot, what's not, what's our demos going to be and what you can buy. So I can make my list there. And then also you can sort it to what recently has been added in the last couple of days, which is quite helpful. Yeah.
So what's your go-to, what's the top of your list that you have
to? So my top of the list, I've got 22 items in there. So Charterstone has just been bumped into it. Because I'm hoping to pre-order this when I get over there. If you don't know what Charterstone is, it's a game from Stonemaier Games. Stonemaier Games. And it's a legacy kind of game, but it's competitive. It can play up to 6 players, and you are kind of creating this worker placement game in you're molding it all together. Which seems quite cool. Seen Rodney Smith's video of it already, and it looks pretty awesome. It's quite funny because the rule book, you open up the rule book and it looks like one of those, you remember collecting the football stickers and put them in the
Panini stickers.
Yeah. It looks like that because you get loads of cards and it says, right, take the sticker off and put it in the rule book, and you'll find, okay, this goes in place one. Like, oh, I just need this one to complete my collection and I've got a full team kind of thing. But so the rule book's like that, which is quite funny, I thought. But then there's also stickers that come off that you put onto the board and you get extra stuff. So that's jumped onto this. Clank in Space, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
That cat.
I know. I she wants to sit on my lap, and the table and the chair do not allow that to happen. So, so she's shouting at me to move. That's what she's doing. Sorry. Go on.
I've pre-ordered this, and as soon as it came available, called Coaster Park. Now, this is quite a cool little game. This is like you're making up a theme park, little rides, talking of which we've done already. And you actually got marbles that you have to roll down your theme park you made up and see if it works properly, which looks fun. So I pre-ordered that.
That looks awesome. Yeah. I just seen pictures of it now. That looks I don't know how long it will survive, but that looks great.
It does. Kids will love it. When I brought home Potion Explosion and I was getting out of the box, I go, has that got marbles in it? Yeah. Can we play? It's like, it's bedtime, but maybe tomorrow. So.
You mean horrible person. I know.
Flip Ships was on my list, but I've now just picked it up from Christoph. So I've got that to sort out and play. Another cool one, dexterity game called Meeple Circus. And it's basically you've got loads of meeples and bits and pieces, and a bit like junk art, you've got to position and put them in kind of arrangements, kind of like making a meeple, a circus kind of act with it. It's quite cool. Sticky Chameleons. says it on the tin. the kids all love this, right? Those sticky
don't use the kids to excuse this what you're buying. Go on, keep going.
You know those sticky toys that you can throw against like the window and they kind of walk down. That long extension of that on a stick, and you're got to slap it on the table and pick stuff off with it, kind of thing. So like the chameleon's tongue. You know what I'm getting?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of game. And you can like snap stuff out of people's that have caught it as well in midair. It just looks mental. Can't wait for that.
I'm gonna ask for the more mature listener, are you gonna get look at any grown up games at all?
Charterstone was grown up. I am looking at one, Palino. Have you played Orleans?
No.
Okay, so Al Palino is from the same designer as Orleans, and it's the kind of same thing. It's you're putting tokens into a bag and you're pulling them out to do stuff with. So and it's like resource management and stuff going on like that. I just like the front of the box because it's got some funky llama on the front.
Llamas are cool.
Llamas are cool. It's probably about the heaviest game I've got. Oh, Photosymphonous. Symphonous there.
Go on.
Photosymphonous. Almost 99% right.
What were you going for? Photosynthesis?
That's it.
Okay.
Just checking. Yeah, I've got man flu. I can't speak through my nose.
Thinking, is it called something different than photosynthesis? Okay. Right. Go on.
So photosynthesis is a...
That's great. Keep trying. Fourth attempt. Go.
I'm not saying it anymore. It's basically you are growing trees in this forest and they are trying to gather
Awesome. It's got shade and stuff and the light goes around it.
Yeah. You can block people off from getting light. The more light your trees get, the more action points you get to spend on your turn. It's a really cool idea. And 3D as well. So it'd be like...
Yep. It looks like it's got the... what was that? Crossmaster kind of arena game type tree thing size.
Oh, yes. Yes.
There's my relationship to the size of trees in a game. Is the that whatever it's called. No, I saw that this was in a competition on the front of BGG, and I kind of often just look at stuff that way, kind of like what's someone trying to sell me? Make me win a competition. And this is one of those games of, what the hell is that?
Yeah, that was a competition I entered recently as well on the front of BGG.
But just the whole concept of it, that looks really clever. And that was one of the few ones I actually did read up about before I actually answered the questions. And that'd be good to see. I don't know how heavy it's going to be.
I don't think it's that heavy.
No, I didn't think so either, because it seemed to make sense when I was reading about it. So that does look really quite cool, though. Yep, go on. Sorry.
Other than that, that's pretty my list of really stuff I really want.
But what about so they have millions of games there.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going for to try and bring back? Many items to resell, or are you going for a collection of your own?
Just a collection of my own stuff, really.
So it's the man who only, 20 minutes ago was talking about one in, one out. So where the rest of those games going to go?
Well, I'll just have to play them.
Or you
can
have another Clax unit on the way home.
I don't think I have space. No, I will see and see what comes in, what comes out, really. It will depend. So, yeah, I'm just going to go over there, waste my money, and half of it might not stay, but half of it might stay.
Half of it might not stay, so, yeah. I think that's one of the biggest concerns I'd have about going over there, is actually limiting my spending somehow.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's the kind of bargain alleys. I know that if I wait until the last day, I'll probably pick up a bargain, but it'd be games that I probably don't want to buy, or the English rule set would be hard to find, kind of thing. So, and then I'd be worried about missing the scythe of this year, or the, you know, 503 or whatever it was called, you know, that kind of 504, that game that everyone should be picking up.
Yeah.
So it'd be hard to kind of, and it just looks so massive and heaving.
Yeah. I'm kind of nervous in a way, but then excited.
That's not a negative, by the way. It just looks like really, really cool.
Yeah.
So, very jealous. So it's you and Sam, isn't it? Road trip?
No.
Isn't that Sam?
No. He's not going this year because he's putting a massive building on the back of his house. So.
Oh, okay.
So it's me, Lewis, Dr. Lewis, and American Mike going over from Game Club.
So. Awesome. And Lewis is going to be in his element.
Yeah.
All those Euros, he'd just be rolling around on the floor with chips. And
he's not that bad, actually. He's actually a big fan of dexterity games, and because he was the one that implemented the dexterity evening we had yonks ago. So I was like, okay. I was expecting to play some heavy Euros, but no, we were dexterity night all the way.
Awesome.
It
looked awesome.
There is another dexterity game on there, which actually Sam has pre-ordered and asked me to pick up from there. Tokyo Highway. Have you seen this one?
Nope.
That's cool.
I'm looking them up as fast as you're telling them. So
I don't really know much about it. It looks cool. It's just loads of lollipop sticks standing on.
Tokyo, what was it?
Tokyo Highway.
Express.
Yeah, it's just loads of lollipop sticks on, like, sitting on top of each other. And then you've got balanced cars on top of them. It's only two player, actually. I was surprised about that.
That kind of rolls nicely around to the game that we played last credit in the evening, which was Rhino Hero.
Yes,
that great was mildly game. Amusing. That's mildly amusing. Yeah, that's quite good. But actually, it was, apart from Whistle Stop, which you played, I think the car racing game that you had,
it's awesome, isn't it?
That was quite cool. Yeah, that's made me think of it again. You know, since playing it, what was it called?
Downforce.
Downforce.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the easier map to play.
Yeah.
I think that created more tension with regards to an actual race.
Do you know, I took it to the Meeple's Corner Tuesday night gaming in Exeter. And that was the first game we played. And there's six players playing that. And there was two things I hated playing that game that night. One of the guys decided he hated the game right from the beginning. So he was only moving... He was trying to move the leader further as possible to end the game.
Mm.
Which I was saying, well, no, because most of the cars have got to get across the line. It was like, oh, well, it gets him across the line. And anyway, I was like, oh, why bother? And then it was all pick on me, because apparently that's what happens when you bring a game along. It's your game, you get picked on. I was like, ugh. But I'm at the back. I can't do anything. Pick on the guy at the front. No, because we've all bet on him to win. I was like, so that's the problem, I wonder, with the game, is that if you know there's a guy out in the lead, you're going to help him win anyway, because you get more money out of it, don't you?
As long as, well, yeah, you get more money from the betting, but your car doesn't earn any money.
That's it. But yeah, and then if they're winning and they're betting on themselves, they're just going to be the limit. So it's that kind of king making in a way, isn't it?
Well, that's why I kind of, I like Camel Up for the random element of who's coming out and how far they're going to move. And that game eliminates that by you are playing cards. And often the first two thirds of that race is you're playing as many cards to try and get your guys ahead or for your advantage. And then the last third of that race is, oh shit, I've only got this left. And you're praying that you're blocking somebody or that someone will have to move you or they don't want to move you at all. But they, you know, you put yourself in a position where they probably going to have to at some point and so on. So there were lots of those. I mean, everyone's eight card gets normally churned on the first two corners.
Yeah.
So, you know, and after that, and so, yeah, there is that moment of, okay, I've got nothing left to make my guys win. I bet on blue. I'm going to try and make sure he wins so I get all the money. But you do that. And so the blue character kind of goes, well, I bet on him as well. So that's great. So he gets the money and the gambling. So you still, yeah, there is that. That's when I played it the first time and Sarah streaked out into the lead. It was like, right, there's no point looking at her anymore. Right, what about second and third? That's what I was looking at because of the tight corners. So it definitely needs that kind of additional kind of map or two because I loved the wider corners where you there were definitely less bottlenecking. But then I liked the bottlenecking from what you could do to other people to make you move your car.
Yeah.
You know, I literally put my guy in the corner knowing full well that everyone else had to move him. And I could hold my colours back until he got moved out the corner.
Yeah. Or that happens and no one moves you. And it's like, come on, just boom. Nope. We're just going to move the cars at the back or the car in front.
Everyone's going to come bunch up behind you. It's just like, oh, for Christ's sake. I've stalled it, haven't I, on the corner. That's what I've done.
I've actually written a review on it already for the website. And I basically said, yeah, the car in front's just buying a drive-through takeaway. Why everyone's queuing up behind him. It's like, come on, there's a race going on here.
It was good. It was very good. Very good. I don't think it would replace Camel Up. I liked the Camel Up side of it. I like the gambling in Camel Up and the randomness of that. And we've played it when we used to go around to Rune Meet. And we'd watch the hardcore gamers playing this game with the odds, trying to work out and trying to bet. And then people kind of going, do you know what? I'm betting on the guy in third place because I've seen these dice have already come up. We should be able to take this. And then you pull out that dice and you roll a one and you go, fantastic. And then the guy from the back rolls a three, lands on top of you, and you're now in last place. And the red team's, and you're kind of going, oh, come on. That whole element, whole stacking, yeah. that's fantastic in Camel Up. So this lacked that entertainment value, but certainly had a little bit of tension with regards to that last couple of corners when I was racing with Sarah's car. It was good. You know, it did. It felt like a bit of a race at the end.
Definitely.
So, yeah. So that was very good.
So fast to play as well.
Yeah, what's it like with six?
Same speed.
Really?
It was just, it's done. It's like almost a filler game. We cracked it out at the beginning. I told them how to play and then we were done and ready to carry on some hardcore gaming. So yeah, it's almost filler, start the evening, finish the evening, big box game.
Well, so
I played it three players with the kids on, in the rules, in the back of the rules, there's some simple way, basically play with no powers or bid on the cars or betting. You just each of you get three cards and then you play a card and draw a card up kind of thing, and you can dish out the cars evenly, so you just kind of play like that, trying to get around the track as fast as possible, and they enjoyed it like that as well. So yeah, great little game.
I think also why I like that game as well is the when you're gambling at the beginning, which I always lose on all the cars that I ever want to bid on, the fact that you could win three cars, possibly, you know, probably two.
Yeah.
But you only get to choose one of the power-ups which came along with that. And that decision-making at the beginning, I just think is awesome. I just things like that where you can't have a runaway success because you could have two cars.
Yeah.
But I could still only have one car, but have a fairly a fortuitous choice in decision-making for the power-ups that have helped me in the race. Because sometimes those power-ups, you think, oh, there's a couple of straights here. As long as I end up on a straight, I can get an extra move along this route or whatever. And you always end up on corners. And it's just like, for Christ's sake. And things along those lines. It was quite nice. You know, when other people are moving your vehicles, you move them.
Yeah.
Would you do that, or you know, and is that really that advantage? You know, so it's good. Yeah. So those powers, I thought they were quite well spaced out, and yeah, the fact that you can only choose one, just things like that made the game fun.
The other thing that it could do to you is put you in negative equity when you finished a race. So.
Yeah.
Which happened to me.
Yes.
So I think it was negative 2 million or something by the end of one race. It's because basically if your car doesn't cross the finish line and there's no more cards to play, they just clonk out and they actually don't finish the race.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, that's what we played. We played it right. So my car kind of just limped and didn't even make it around the last corner. And I think I paid out. Oh, I had two cars. That's right. I paid out for two cars. Probably paid about 9 million altogether on those.
Right.
And one didn't make it over the line. The other one came in about fourth pace, which I then was in negative 3 or 4 million or something like that. I can't remember. But it's disheartening what happens. They all picked on me again.
Yeah.
So.
But I think that's about it for gaming. I haven't played anything else. No, I was looking. We went to Thorpe Park. We did take a couple of board games. I actually took a game that I first picked up probably, well, I don't know, 10 years ago. One of the first kind of random board games called Langfinger, a heist kind of game, and took 8 Minute Empire and something else I've totally forgotten. Oh, that's right, Zombie Dice. But we were so knackered from walking around and the drives and everything. And then we watched, you know, a couple of films because I managed to get Chromecast working up there on the TV. That it was just like, yep, fine, sit, watch that, and passed out. and then just like old man scenario. I walked 9 miles a day according to my Fitbit. Nice. So, I was exhausted. So, yes. I didn't actually play anything else. You know, I haven't played anything for quite some time. So, but yeah. There's a Meeples Corner game day on the Saturday you're in Essen, right?
Yeah.
Which is the old town hall and whatever it's called. So I'm looking forward to that. And the game day just before it as well, or the Friday.
Yes.
So yes.
Yes.
It should be good.
I should be. No, it's the Friday before that. If you know what I mean.
Yes, the 3rd. Sorry, you're right. Yeah, because the game day is the last weekend,
so
isn't it?
I'm hoping to get out and go to that. I don't know.
Yeah. Good luck with that. At least you're getting the lurgy out of your system now.
That's what I thought. I was like, yes. Hopefully I won't become sick now towards it. So.
And you know why you've got this? Because you work in a school.
No, it's because my wife got it and she works in a hospital.
You've got a proper death then. That's incurable. It technically is man flu then.
Yeah, it feels like it. Yeah, and I've got to go work.
I thought you'd catch it from the school.
No.
You're quick to go.
No. I was fighting it all off and then it just like hit me a couple of nights ago. I was like, great.
What is it? No, that's all right. You're all right, get it out before you go away. It's good. Yeah, good news. Right, it's far too late and that's why we're all so down. I apologise. It's if you're one of those, what time is it now? It's only 10 to 12.
Only
it's fine.
10 to 12.
Still
done 60 minutes. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
So my entire I was feeding children this evening and a few other things. So it's one of those went on a bit longer than I anticipated. So
yes,
next time I'll be more alert and younger and less tired and have more to talk about. And you'll have Essen to talk about at that point and all sorts. So.
Yeah, because I'll just be getting back just after. So end of the month. I struggle to get it in, but
tell me all the things that I've missed by not attending. So
you wouldn't care.
I kind of would. I always wanted to go. I did always want to go.
Yeah. Never mind.
When I still cared about what was coming out, rather than just waiting for it to come out.
That must be a nice feeling sometimes.
I shrug my shoulders. Oh, that's nice.
Don't care. Give me Camel Up. Right. I'll play Camel Up.
I'll play Camel Up. It's fine. It's fine.
Right.
It's fine. Right, go on. Bugger off.
Thank you, Lewis. And I'll see you in a month, maybe.
See you in a month, dude.
Well, see you in a couple of Fridays anyway. So.
Yeah.
See you later.
See you later, man. presses stop now, and then he presses save and not close project.
Oh dear. Now I can get back to Rimworld and start moving my colony.
Which one?
Rimworld.
Rimworld?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You not played that?
No.
Oh, that's it. Massive open world, kind of civilization in a way kind of game.
It's like Prison Architects. That was it. I saw that, yeah.
Kind of like Prison Architects, yeah.
No, the artwork is like Prison Architects. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, but you're trying to bring like this couple of people up from nowhere and you keep getting attacked or that. And it's one of those games where you keep hitting reload because you've fucked up.
I'm playing Transport Tycoon with a similar thing, kind of going along doing this mission and thinking, oh, that's where I fucked up, right, restart. And then kind of getting through it, getting towards the end and kind of going, oh, so I needed to invest there first, didn't I, otherwise this is not going to work, right, fine, restart. And this is after 3 hours of playing, right, restart, done.
Yeah.
And it's just like that. This reminds me of Sims. It's definitely scratching that Civ kind of itch of, yeah. So I'm quite enjoying that. And what was it? Empire. So Calypso, who does all the
Tropical Tycoon,
type thing.
Tropico.
Yep. Yeah. That's the one. They've got a sale at the moment of another game that they've got on, and I was really interested in looking at it, which was Urban Empire. I'm sure it's Tropico that did that. Why do I think it's Tropico that did that? It's Calypso. There you go. It's Calypso Media, which do the Tropico thing. Anyway, I thought, it's on sale at the moment. Oh, that's good. It's only £8 type thing. I might have a look at that. Every single review is don't.
Really?
And it's just like, oh, that's a shame. It's just like, unfortunately, it's when you look at the reviews, it is, overwhelmingly negative?
Right.
Very negative. All reviews, mostly negative. But they all refer to the politics being nothing more than a pasted-on thing that doesn't really mean anything, and it's just not that good. And you're just kind of like, oh, that's a shame.
Bloody security.
And when you look at people's recommended, this is all right. You know, if you enjoy strategy, you might like this.
Games, is it Waterborne? No, that's the expansion. Sorry. It's Tropico.
No, I just like to see how long people have played it for when they do a review. So people that say recommended, I played it for 3 hours. Mm. People that played it for 30 hours, not recommended. I know I've seen some, don't play this game, it's rubbish. Hours played, 327. It's just like, it can't be that bad then. No, it's called Urban Empire. Well, Calypso. So it's not
on there.
So Calypso do the distribution or whatever it is for the publisher. That's the word I was looking for, of the game.
Right.
Of Tropico, and they're also doing the one for Urban Empire. And I kind of really liked the look of it when I started hearing about it, but just the amount, just
just don't.
Panning was just like, okay. I picked up on a PlayStation sale Trackmania, Trials HD, and Rocket League. Been playing boys on Rocket League and doing Trackmania. There's another game that's controller snapping, inducive kind of bastard thing. That then makes me kind of go, yes, I did it, you fucker.
Oh dear.
If I do that, if I paste that into the share. Paste. There we go. Done. And that'll be up to you very shortly. We're playing Rocket League and my boy was playing it and he had to get up and do something. I said, I'll take over. He just looked at me and went, that's all right, I've lost the game anyway. And then I played the game and I scored a goal and he went, oh, you're not as bad as you say you are. I said, yeah, thanks for that. I said, mainly because it's a car. That's the only reason I'm any good at this game. If it was a first person in any shape or form, anything running around, I'd have been, walking into walls and staring at the floor for 20 minutes.
So it's Rocket League soccer with cars, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
cool.
Right, I've got a tick next to that file, so it should be off to see you in Dropbox. Cool. I almost said words then in a sentence. God damn. Quite exhausted. Oh, man alive. It's one of those days, and tomorrow I've got to go and see horrible people.
I've got to go and teach horrible kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to learn.
We shall see. Right, I'm running away, dude. Okay. I've got to get up at stupid o'clock. And right.
Okay.
Nice one. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And I'll see you soon.
Yeah. See you later on.
No worries. Cheers, buddy. Bye.
Bye-bye.